Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics, a program designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God. Pastor Brian is currently teaching through a series of topical studies, and coming up, we're being encouraged to examine our lives to make sure that God has His rightful place in our hearts. The message is called Joy to the World, so let's turn in our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 9 as we go back to basics.
Now, you could probably count on both of your hands the number of benevolent rulers there have been over the peoples of the earth throughout all of human history. They have been that few and far between. The vast majority of rulers have been harsh, cruel, heartless in many ways, dictators. The history of the 20th century alone, you can come up with a handful in the 20th century alone, that were ruthless, brutal, heartless men who ruled over nations. And there are still some that we can find today. But his reign is going to be the opposite of that. It's going to be one of compassion and tenderness and mercy. The father of the coming age. And then fourthly, he is referred to as the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace, because peace will be the thing that will mark the reign of the Lord. Not just a local peace, but a universal peace. Isn't this what the world is crying out for today? Isn't this what so much of the dialogue is about in these various summits and so forth? Everybody's talking about peace, how to obtain peace. We see that peace is elusive. We can talk about it, theorize about it, sing about it, but we just can't seem to attain it. But he is the Prince of Peace. Peace proceeds from him. It's a peace that's founded upon righteousness, and that will be the dominant feature of his reign, and it's put beautifully by both Isaiah and Micah the prophet in these words. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. But everyone shall sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid. What a beautiful, beautiful picture. All of the resources that have gone into developing weapons will be put to agriculture and such things. So it'll just be a beautiful situation. And every man sitting under his vine or his fig tree, we're supposed to get a picture of this in our mind of just a beautiful, peaceful, relaxing experience. You know, like it used to be in the old days, you just sit on your porch in the evening watching the sun go down with your wife and kids, and nobody's making you afraid. You're not worried somebody's going to drive by and shoot you or anything like that. You're just at peace. That's what he's describing here. That's what's coming. Now, these things are, as I've said, these are future. This is where things are ultimately headed. And thank God for that. And by faith, we read these passages and we imagine that world that's coming, and we thank the Lord that it is a reality, and we pray that his kingdom would come and his will would be done. And we have confidence that the child that was born in Bethlehem, that the son that was given at Calvary, is coming back to establish this kingdom of righteousness. But here's the other side of it. The other side of it is that even though that is coming, that that's a reality, that we wait for it, we don't have to wait for it in the sense that we can't have a taste of it today. You see, what God has done is these things that he's promised to do universally, he has made these things available to people on an individual basis now, today. For the child that was born, the son that was given, upon whose shoulders the government will ultimately be, he is ready, willing, desirous to take over the government of our lives personally and to be to us individually and personally everything that he's ultimately going to be to the world. He's ready to be that for us today. And so that's the point that I want to really focus in on in our time together, is looking at this from the personal standpoint. And so on a personal level, he is and wants to be, for each one of us personally and individually, he wants to be our wonderful counselor. God has a perfect plan for each one of our lives. I never tire of telling people that, because I think it's such an amazing thing that God actually has a plan. He's already mapped it out. Just like Jesus will bring forth this most brilliant of plans for the world that will result in this universal peace and righteousness, so the Lord has a plan for your life. Because, let's face it, like the nations, our own personal lives are sort of parallel to the nations in that our lives personally oftentimes are filled with chaos and confusion and perplexity and difficulty, right? And we need a counselor. We need someone to make sense of this. We need someone to give us a plan to sort this out, give us a plan to prosper and to do well and to enjoy life. And that's what the Lord does for us on a personal level. He is the all-wise God who desires to impart to you wisdom and understanding to navigate the difficulties and perplexities of life and to lead you into rich fulfillment. You know, counseling is big business these days, isn't it? And lots of people spend lots of money to go to counselors. Why are they going to counselors? They're going to try to get their life sorted out. Their lives are a mess. And some people go to counselors, you know, individual counselors. Some people go to group therapies. I was talking to a friend this morning who gets up early in the morning, 6 o'clock. He's at a meeting with people. And they're all there with one objective, and it's to try to get their lives sorted. That's what Jesus wants to do for us personally. He wants to sort our lives out. And he comes to us and he brings with him this plan. He says, I've got a plan for your life. And listen, the plan that he has for your life is the best one imaginable. You couldn't sit down and write out a better script for your life than what the Lord has already planned. You couldn't do it. Some people just, for some reason, they find it hard to believe that. For some reason, they seem to think that they could maybe come up with a better one. And they attempt to do that. And they spend sometimes years trying to bring together this plan that they've come up with. But in the end, it never materializes. It never works out. Don't waste a bunch of your life trying to bring about something that's never going to fulfill you, never going to really be what you were created to be. As soon as possible, right now, today, make sure you're submitting yourself to the wonderful counselor. He's got the plan. And you just need to get connected with that. I look at my own life and I think of where I was before I knew the Lord. And I'll tell you, I didn't even have a plan. I was just in confusion. You know, I didn't know where I was going or what I was doing. And even the few things that I occasionally sort of thought, well, maybe this is it or that, very quickly I realized, no, that's not it. But now with hindsight, I can look back after all these years and I could see how God's plan was so amazing. It was so wonderful. It was so far beyond anything I would have ever even dreamed up for myself. And truly, as the Lord said, I have discovered that His plans, His thoughts, they're good toward us. They're good. He says, I have plans for you. I have thoughts about you. They're good thoughts. They're good plans. They're not evil thoughts or plans. But they're good to give you a future and to give you a hope. And that's what we have since the child was born in Bethlehem, since the Son of God has come. We have now this wonderful Counselor, but He's also the Mighty God. He's also the Mighty God. And in this sense, what we can know for sure is that He is able to accomplish what He's planned for our lives. He's got all of the resources. He's got everything that's necessary for you to enter into and experience all that He's planned for you. Now, as a father, I might just say, for example, I might look at my children and I might have something for them that I deeply desire. I might have, you know, formulated in my own mind a plan that I think would be great for their lives. And I might be accurate. It might be all right and good. But you know, what I don't have because of my human limitations is I don't necessarily have the power or the resources to make it happen. Not so with God. God not only has a perfect plan, He has all of the resources necessary to bring the plan to fruition. So when God says to you, I love you and I have a plan for your life, you can be certain that His plan includes the ability to accomplish it, to bring it to pass. But then also understanding that as the Father of the ages, He has all the tenderness, love, and patience of a father toward us, His children, as He works out His will and purposes in our lives. This is the beautiful thing. He's always moving us in the direction of His will. He's always seeking to bring us into that thing that He's ordained for us. He's got all the power and the resources to do it, but He's doing it gently. He's doing it tenderly. And that's His heart. It's only when we resist, it's only when we insist on doing things our own way that He has to sometimes be more firm with us. But His firmness is still rooted in His love. But He comes along and He tenderly moves us in the direction that He wants us to go. My 4-year-old grandson was here Friday for the ladies' event, and he was one of the shepherd boys. And he's a hilarious little guy, and he's, you know, quite stubborn, actually. And so talking him into being a shepherd was a major task in and of itself. And my daughter's brilliant, and she really, you know, she knows how to use that good reverse psychology and all of that stuff. So she got him to the point where he was willing to be the shepherd. He had the outfit on and all of that. But he wouldn't put on the headband that went with it. He just absolutely refused the headband. I'm not going to wear it. So I went in and I saw him there in the back before they came out. And my daughter sort of said to me, yeah, you know, he won't wear that. And so I looked at him and I said, Ryder, you got to wear that headband. You want to wear that. It's great. It goes with the outfit. Nope. Nope. Well, actually, he says, he doesn't say nope. He says mope. He uses M for N. So he says mope, mope. And I said, oh, come on. You know, it goes with the outfit. It's, you know,
You got to do it.
Nope. No discussion. You know, it's not going to happen. So I said, Ryder, is that a David outfit you're wearing? Is that only a boy named David Shepherd suit? He says, yeah. I said, well, you know what? In order to slay Goliath, you have to have the headpiece on. Because you can't do it without that. David, I'll show you the picture. When David killed the giant, he had that thing on his head. And as I was saying that to him, he was putting the headpiece on. The Lord gently cajoles us in the right direction. That's how he works. He knows how to move us in the direction of his plan and his purpose. And generally speaking, he does that tenderly. He does that lovingly. He does that patiently. And then, of course, we come to that next and final title there. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He takes away our worries. He alleviates our fears. He calms our anxieties with his peace. And this is what Jesus said. He said, my peace I give to you. And later on, the Apostle Paul would write to us about the peace of God that guards our hearts and minds. The peace of God that passes understanding. You know, peace is probably the most desirable thing that there is. I think if you looked at it collectively among the nations, like we've already mentioned, you know, let's get a peace treaty. Anywhere and everywhere there's conflict, let's get a peace treaty. Let's get this resolved. But even when you take it down to the personal level, if you were to survey every man, woman, and child on the planet, and you were able to get from them, you know, what is it that you're ultimately seeking? What would be the thing in life that would be, this is it, this would be the ultimate? Although many people might say happiness, I think if you dug a little deeper and questioned a little further, I think happiness wouldn't quite be the right word. I think what you would get to at the bottom of it is peace. People want peace. They want to be free from agitation. They want to be free from torment. They want to be free from conflict. They want to know that experience of contentment. That's the thing that eludes everybody. That's the thing that people just can't seem to get hold of. Even though they might be happy for moments here and there, they might be prosperous, but yet peace is the thing. Well, here's the wonderful reality. That peace comes through Christ, who is the Prince of Peace. And apart from him, there is no peace. As a matter of fact, the prophet Isaiah would say that very thing. There is no peace for the wicked, says the Lord. There's no peace. It cannot be attained. You can't find it apart from the Prince of Peace. And so these are the things that he is to us now personally. He will be this to the world collectively in the future, but for the present time, this is what he is to those who have received him. Now, the title of our message today is Joy to the World. Joy to the World. We sang the song earlier. And you know, if you look at the song itself, which we sing every Christmas season, interestingly, if you listen to the words, it's more about the final realization of Isaiah's prophecy than the first stage of it. In other words, it's more about when the Lord comes back than it is about when he comes the first time in a manger. It's more about that. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her king. And then let heaven and nature sing and all of that. But then here's the part that applies to us. Let every heart prepare him room. That's now. Let heaven and nature sing. That's the future. That's what's going to happen. When the Lord comes back, heaven and nature will sing. Everything will be brought together in perfect harmony. But for now, it's a personal thing that's realized as every individual heart makes room for Him. And this is what Christmas is really about. It's about receiving Christ. It's about making room for Him in our lives. It's about giving Him His rightful place in our lives. And that results in joy. You know, the Lord's been speaking to me recently about joy. And about how joy is one of the great blessings of being in relationship with Him. And the Lord has been sort of exhorting me to even pray for, but also, you know, seek to have joy even in the midst of difficulty, trial, frustration, whatever it might be. And the words of Paul to the Colossians, where he prays for them, that they might have all patience or long suffering with joy. You see, as we look around the world, there's a lot of things that can rob us of our joy. But as we patiently await the resolution of all these things, as we patiently await the Lord's return, God doesn't want us waiting in fear. He doesn't want us waiting in anxiety. He doesn't want us waiting in agitation or anger or with a troubled mind. He wants us to be waiting with joy. Waiting with joy. And we can, if we've made room for Him in our hearts. Because as we put Jesus on the throne of our hearts, as He begins to reign over us, He is our wonderful counselor. He is the mighty God. He is our Father for all eternity in that benevolent sense. He is our Prince of Peace. He will give us that peace. And my question to you today as we close is simply this: have you made room for Him in your heart? Have you made room? I know many of you have. But perhaps there are some today that have not yet made room for Him. Perhaps you've heard the message and you've actually seen it working in the lives of others, but yet for whatever reason you've sort of kept your distance. Don't do that any longer. Today's the day. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let every heart prepare Him room. Open your heart. Invite Him into your life. But you know, it's also possible that you have done that in the past and He has come in. But as time has passed, other things have come in as well, and it's become rather cluttered there in the throne room of your heart. Cluttered to the extent that the Lord's sort of been pushed aside. And your joy that you used to have is no longer there. The peace that you used to experience consistently is gone. What's happened? Well, He's been removed from His place. But re-enthrone Him. Bring Him back in. Make room. Get that clutter out. Just say, Lord, come back in. Get all this stuff out because, Lord, I want that joy. Open your heart today. Make room for Him and you'll know that joy.
Thanks for joining us today on Back to Basics Radio with Pastor Brian Brodersen. We'll return next time with more biblical insight from the Scriptures. But if you missed any part of this study or you'd like to review it again, you can do so by going to backtobasicsradio.com, click on Resources, then Audio. There you'll find all of Pastor Brian's teachings through the Bible, and you can either podcast, stream, or download for free. If you'd like a CD, you can call us at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message by title or resource number. Today's message is called Joy to the World, and the resource number is OBB530. If you have any questions or encouragement, or would like to support this ministry, we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us directly at backtobasicsradio.com. You can also follow Pastor Brian on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Thanks again for tuning in today, and we pray the Lord continues to strengthen and encourage you in your faith as we study through the Word of God together.
Our God, You reign forever.
Back to Basics Radio is an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.